I had some hills to climb. I had some weary days and some sleepless nights. But when I look around and think things over, all of my good days outweigh my bad days. I won't complain. Sometimes the clouds hang low. I can hardly see the road. I ask a question, Lord. Lord, why so much pain? But He knows what's best for me. Even though my eyes, they can't see. So I'll just say, thank you, Lord. I won't complain. The Lord been good to me. He been good to me. Better than this whole world you would ever be. He's been so good. He's been so good. He drives all my tears away. Turn my midnight into day. So I'll just say, thank you, Lord. I won't complain. The Lord been good to me. He been good to me. Better than this whole world you would ever be. He's been so good. He's been so good. Been lying on, but he's been good to me. He been good to me. So I'll just say, thank you, Lord. I won't complain.
Church, say amen. We feel that we have already had the message and those songs. I'm going up yonder and I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. But you know, there's always a word from the Lord. And if you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to Joshua, the 24th chapter. And we want to begin at the 14th verse. And when you have found that, we want you to go to the New Testament, St. John, the 6th chapter, the 6th verse. Those those of you that have Joshua, the 24th chapter, will you say amen?
Amen.
Now, therefore, fear the Lord God and serve him in sincerity and in truth. And put away the gods in which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom he will serve, whether the gods for which your fathers served that was on the other side of the flood, the gods of the Amorites, in whose land we dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God, he it is that brought us up and our fathers out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, and which did no great sign in our sight, and preserve us in all the days or ways wherein we went, and among all the people through whom we passed. And the Lord drove out from before us all the people, even the Amorites, which dwell in the land. Therefore will also we serve the Lord, for he is our God. And Joshua said unto the people, he cannot serve the Lord, for he is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgression nor your sin. For if he forsake the Lord and serve strange God, then he will turn and do you hurt and consume you after that he have done you good. And the people said unto Joshua, nay, but we will serve the Lord. And St. John, the 6th chapter, the 66th verse, beginning at the 66th verse, you'll find these words. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will he also go away? And Simon Peter answered him and said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the word of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. You may be seated. First, giving honor to God today and to our pastor, to all the fellow clergymen of the gospel, to officers and members, visitors, and friends. I thank God for another opportunity to be found in God's prayer house. And I thank the pastor for giving me an opportunity to bring his word today. I want to ask you a question. And my text is in the form of a question. And I want you to look at your neighbor and ask them, are you totally committed? Are you totally committed? Joshua was calling on Israel not to make a simple decision, but he was calling on them for totally commitment. And he knew that his time was about to run out. And he said, I want to know why I'm still on this side of the Jordan River. I want to know before I take my leave from this life. I want to know whether or not that you are going to commit yourself to serve the Lord God Jehovah, God who brought us out of the land of Egypt, whether or not you're going to decide to serve the gods of the Amorites, in whose land we dwell. Or are you going to serve the gods of your fathers in the old antediluvian world? And Joshua said, whatever you do, you're not going to affect me, because I've already made my choice. My choice is not a simple decision, but a firm commitment. Not only do I speak for myself, but I speak for my whole house. Brothers and sisters, you know, that's a man when he can speak for his whole house. He said, as far as my house, we will serve the Lord. And without hesitation, without even really thinking about it, the people echo in the ear of Joshua, say, well, we're going to serve the Lord God also. But Joshua knew the people that he led. And you know, it's always good for a leader or for a pastor to know the people that's following him. He knew that these was not the type of people that would make a firm commitment to God Almighty and hold to it. If you just go back and you trace their history from the time the children of Israel was crying out to God when they were slaves down in the Egypt land. And when the Lord God sent Moses to bring them out, God had to cause a series of plagues. Yes. He turned the Nile River into blood, dust into lice. The sun was blacking out. He performed many miracles. He took the firstborn of those in the Egypt land that didn't have the blood painted on the doorway. And finally, God Almighty took them down to the Red Sea. Had Pharaoh's army behind them. They had the Red Sea in front of them. They had the mountain on both sides. And they heard Moses say, stand back and see the salvation of God. The Bible said that the Spirit of God moved on the water and put the water back on both sides, and they walk across on dry land. They knew the works of God. A lot of us would say, oh, if I could have been there, if I could have seen all those miracles that God had performed, there wouldn't be no doubt in my mind. But such is the heart of man. You can see miracles performed, but after a while, those miracles become foggy in our mind. And you wonder or not whether these miracles are some type of sequence of coincidence. So Joshua knew that these were not the type of people that would serve God. Joshua knew that when Moses was there, how they treated Moses.
Yes.
He saw them going like a seesaw, going back and forward.
Mm-hmm.
Looked like every time God tried to do something good for them, they complained.
Yes. Yeah.
He saw them like a seesaw in the time of Moses. He saw them doing the same thing during his administration.
Mm-hmm.
And he said to them that as soon as I close my eyes, I know things are not going to change. You're going to do the same thing you did with Moses. And you're going to do the same thing during my administration. Even though God's going to send judges, your thinking and your system still going to remain the same. And I want you to know that God is going to bring you into the promised land. He's going to give you houses that you didn't build. He's going to let you drink from wells that you didn't dig. He's going to let you eat from olive gardens and olive trees that you didn't plant. He's going to do all this for you unless you forget the Lord. It's easy for us to forget God. For the most part, for we as black ministers, we minister to our own ethnic community. We are going through something here that really troubled me in the black community. I see angry black young men being postulated into what we call the religion of Islam. And we who the Lord have brought a long way. God had brought us from the hull of slave ships. He brought us from the cotton field and the plantation. And nobody had brought us from where we were to where we are today but Jesus Christ. And I hear young black men saying that Jesus is a white man's God. And I want you to know, if he's a white man God, that's the best thing that ever happened to the white man. And I want you to know, I won't trade Jesus for anybody or anything. But you know, we got a lot of people who make simple decisions. When I was a young man growing up, I used to watch the Billy Graham Crusade. And he used to get up and tell the people, now you need to make a decision tonight to come to the Lord. And I used to see thousands of people getting up, coming to the altar. And not only him, but I used to see other evangelists that preach and people get up and come to the Lord. And I said to myself, if all these people made a firm commitment to God, oh, what a wonderful world that we would live in. But I want you to know that these people that you see coming up, a lot of them do not make a firm commitment to the Lord. And when you visit our prisons, our jails, our places of incarceration, when you talk to people who have committed a crime, people who are chemically addicted, you are basically talking to church folks. You're talking to people who have had their names on somebody's church roll. They made a simple decision to follow Christ, but not a firm, committed decision to follow Jesus Christ. Oh, my brothers and sisters, when we go out there and we start witness to people on the street, and we go to the different houses and start talking about Jesus Christ, you're going to find out that these people that we find out that was once members of somebody's church, they'll tell you that I used to be a member of the Baptist church. I used to be a member of the Methodist church or the Pentecost church or the Catholic church. But these people are people who have known Christ, but yet had not committed their life to Christ.
Yes.
Have you ever wondered that you had people who have joined church and they look like they're doing so good, and after a while, they come into church with all the joy and full of the Spirit, and then you see them going through the real door to a world of sin. I've seen people like that, and I say to myself, I wonder what happened. That seemed like he was doing so good in church, but all of a sudden that person's life have changed for the worse. And then, as I was reading my Bible, Jesus had an answer for this. The Lord said that when the unclean spirit leaves out of a man, he walketh through dry places seeking rest, but he finds none. And then he said, I will return to my house. I want you to know that no matter what you've been delivered for, the devil is still trying to claim your house. He said, I will return to my house. But before I return to my house, I'm going to get me seven more. Evil spirit more wicked than I. Then we come and back to dwell in that house. We'll find that house empty, swept, and garnished. I used to think a long time ago that these were people that were saved, but never received the Holy Spirit. But I found out that these are people who had made simple decisions to follow Christ, but not really commit their life to Christ. You see, when you commit your life to Christ, Satan can't do you no harm. For the Bible said, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. When you're a child of God, your house is not only swept, but it's blood washed. Satan can't get into that house. But you find out that when you only make a simple decision, you find out that you leave room for Satan to come in. These are people who have joined church, people who got their badge of membership, people who have joined auxiliaries in the church, people who have gone through orientation. They still have not totally committed their lives to Christ. Oh, we got a lot of people here today that had not really totally committed their life to Christ. Oh, when you commit your life to Christ, it's going to make a big difference. I hear Joshua talking to the people. Even you told me that you're going to serve the Lord. But he said, you're not going to serve God because I know what type of people you are. God have blessed me, allowed me to defeat 31 kings. And I think it's in the book of Joshua, the 12th chapter, to tell you how God had been with Joshua. God had given him the wisdom and the strength to defeat all these kings. And when Joshua sent the people out, the Bible said that Joshua died. And then we have the book of Judges, which is a vicious cycle of rebellions against God. Every time God blessed them, they go out hoeing after idol gods. And they start wishing the God of the land. Do I have a witness? For the Bible said over in the New Testament, it said Jesus led his disciples out in the wilderness. Do I have a witness? The Bible said that was a large multitude that followed Jesus for 3 days. And the people got hungry. And the disciples said, Master, the people are too many and we can't feed them. And he said, the best thing we could do is send them home. But Jesus said, sit them down and bring what you got. He said, Lord, the only thing that we have is 200 pence. And that's not enough to feed all these people. But somebody said that there's a little lad over there. He got 2 fish and 5 barley loaves. And Jesus said, bring me that. I want you to know that anything you put in the hands of Jesus, multiply, he'll make it multiply. I want to know that when you put your life in Jesus' hand, it'll never be the same. It said any man is in Christ Jesus. He is a new creature. Do I have a witness? They tell me that the multitude kept on following Jesus. And then finally Jesus stopped and said, the only reason why you're following me because of the miracles I have performed. But I want you to know, except you eat of my body and drink of my blood, you cannot have eternal life. And the Bible said that they didn't know what Jesus was talking about. And before Jesus could explain himself, they said the crowd started dispersing, going every direction. Finally, the Bible said they got down to just the 12 disciples. Do I have a witness? Somebody said Jesus told them, are you going to go away also? But Peter said, Lord, to whom shall we go? I want you to know that the body of Christ needs to realize that whatever you need, if you can't find it in Jesus, you won't find it nowhere else. Do I have a witness? Jesus is all you need. And like I was saying, I see a lot of black men going, joining the Islam religion and having racism. But I want you to know this not just about racism, but it's trying to do away with Christianity. You know, I don't know about you, but I sit down and I listen to one of the messages of the minister of Islam, and he was talking about the Holy Quran and trying to compare it with the Bible. They're talking about Muhammad and try and put him on the same level as he put Jesus on. I want you to know that nobody can be put on the level of Jesus Christ. I want you to know Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And no man come to the Father but by him. I'm so glad today that's not the only time that they try to put Jesus on the same level with other people. Back in Matthew's 17th chapter, and they talk about the mountain of transfiguration. They said Jesus went to the mountain. They call it the mountain of transfiguration. I don't know what was Mount Tabor or Mount Hermon, but the Bible said that he left 9 disciples at the base of the mountain and went on up to the mountain of transfiguration. And as he got up there, Peter, James, and John went to sleep. But the Bible said that he had 2 visitors. The first visitor was Moses. And the last time I heard about Moses, they tell me that God took the body of Moses, had his angels to hide it in the secret burying place. And then when they was burying Moses, the Bible said that Satan showed up and tried to claim the body of Moses and said Moses made a big mistake. He shook the rock twice. And they tell me that the archangel Micah had to contend with Satan. And he told Satan he didn't use a whole lot of words or vile language. He said, Satan, God rebuke you. And they tell me that Moses, I don't know where he got up out of the grave or where he came from heaven, but the Bible said that he was on the the mountain of transfiguration. Then they had Elijah. The last time I heard about Elijah, somebody said that he went to heaven on a chariot. The wheel was on fire and the horses was biting fire, and he went to heaven. But I don't know where he came back in a chariot or not, but I do know that he was on the mountain of transfiguration. Do I have a witness? And the Bible said, while on the mountain of transfiguration, that Peter woke up and said, it's good for us to be here. Let us make three tabernacles. Let us make a tabernacle for Moses. Let us make one for Elijah. And let us make one for Jesus. And as he was saying this ridiculous thing, the Bible said that a cloud from heaven came down and surrounded him. And he heard a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. Hear he him. And what I want you to know, that when the cloud had rolled away, Moses was gone. When the cloud had rolled away, Elijah was gone. And the only person was on the mountain of transfiguration was Jesus Christ. What I'm trying to tell you, that when time have rolled away, Buddha will be gone. Muhammad will be gone. Leonis will be gone. Harry Christian will be gone. Sing-Yon Moon will be gone. David Koresh will be gone. He's already gone. But Jesus, the only one that will be standing. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other grounds are sinking sand. Are you firmly committed, trusting the Lord with all your heart? Lean not to thy own understanding, but acknowledge him in all your ways. He will make a way for you out of no way at all. Do you know him today? Ain't he all right? The Bible said there's no salvation, none other name under heaven whereby a man must be saved, except at the name of Jesus, at the name of Jesus. Make sure you make a firm commitment. Put your hand in the hands of the man that steals the water. Put your hand in the hand of the man that calmed the raging sea. Everything you need today, you can find it in God. Everything you need today, you can go to Jesus. He's water when you're thirsty. He's bread when you're hungry. He'll lawyer in a courtroom. Everything you need, Jesus is. Do you know him today? And he's all right. And he's all right. And he's all right. Jesus got everything you need. You need to make a firm commitment. Because if you don't, you won't be able to stand. I want you to know that when you trust in the Lord, put him in your life. Not just casual, simple decision, but make a firm commitment. I want you to know that he's standing at the door knocking. He said, any man would open up. I come in and serve with him. I want you to know that you need to make a firm commitment. You know, the pastor shouldn't have to ask you to come to Sunday school. If he was committed, you automatic come. The pastor wouldn't have to ask you to do a whole lot of other service. If you're firm committed, you'll be there. I want you to know that you got to be totally committed to Jesus. Totally committed. And you'll leave no room for Satan to come in at all. Commit your Christ. Commit your life to Christ. And he'll keep you through the sunshine and through the rain. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart. Lean not to thy own understanding, but acknowledge him in all thy ways, and he will direct thy path. Look at your neighbor and ask your neighbor, are you committed?